You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, I am one of your co-hosts of the show, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News and one of the editors of 8.9 Seconds. And I forgot to press record for the first 5 seconds of my conversation with my guest for the day, so I'm doing this little intro right before I jump in, but thankfully I only missed 5 seconds, so let's just get right to it. First-time guest, whose name I still won't reveal, even though I know he doesn't care if I reveal it. I'll just call him iPacers Blog for now. What's up, man? How are you?
Hi, yeah, I'm good. You can do my name. That'd be weird, I feel like, if I'm just iPacers.
I enjoy preserving your anonymous nature even more, even though your name is in your bio.
Yeah, it's in the bio. So I don't know. It's like a decision you have to make at the beginning. Like, if you're starting a website, am I going to put this as my name or as the website? Like, Ben did it when he took over for 8.9 seconds. At first, he had his name on there, but then he changed it to just 8.9 seconds.
Yeah, it's a tough battle. I never really went for the anonymous route. I kind of wish I did. It would have been fun. But I will refer to you as Derek the rest of the show now. I ruined it. Now everybody knows. It's a bummer. So before we start talking about the one summer league game that happened since our last episode, which was the Hoot and Holler versus the Cavs. We should talk about the big news from, I believe J. Michael was the first to get it from the Indy Star. He said, with the Pacers done signing players, it looks like they will turn their focus to extending Nate McMillan's contract. There were rumblings at the end of the season. I remember who started a rumor, but it sounds like those are coming to fruition. And then I think there's an article today that said they might, you know, it might take a bit to get this done, or they, you know, they just think it's going to happen, so they're not rushing it. But I don't know how I feel about that, Derek. How do you feel about Nate McMillan getting an extension after last year?
I think the biggest thing is it just felt inevitable. I mean, as soon as Kevin Pritchard started talking about him in the end of the season press conference, like, he almost, like, choked up to the point of tears. Like, he clearly loves him. I don't think there's any way that he doesn't end up getting an extension at some point.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I just tweeted this, so it's fresh in my mind is why it's so good. You know, his first season, getting that team to 42 wins in the playoffs is crazy. Like, 8 or 9 of those guys won't even be in the NBA next year. And then this past year, getting that team to 48 wins. Like, those are impressive things. And I think McMillan's most redeeming quality is he's really good at player development. You can see that a lot of the young guys get better every year. They find more continuity. But I don't think he's got a playoff. Me and Adam talked about this ad nauseum, but I don't think he's got the playoff championship coaching pedigree. And maybe that Pacers aren't in that, like, tier of team yet, but they will be in like 2 years. So I feel like giving him an extension is limiting the team ceiling to an extent.
Yeah. Nate's done a lot of good things, but yeah, I think he kind of reminds me a lot of Dwayne Casey. Like, is this going to be a repeat of the Raptors in a couple years? We're going to reach our ceiling with Nate, and then he's going to, like, change and go more analytic friendly, and then it still won't work, and then we'll just get rid of him. Is that what's going to happen? I don't know. But I disagree on player development a little bit, but maybe that's just with Miles Turner, because I feel his role hasn't changed since his rookie year, and maybe that's him, and maybe that's
– We had Vogel 1 year, right?
Yeah, Vogel was there the first year, but it seems like it's the same thing since that year for him.
Yeah, they do seem to want Tim to take mid-range shots more often than I would hope, or anyone would hope. And I can't tell if that's by design, by development, by whatever they're trying to get that focus for him on, because he shoots really well from there, and I feel like he should be able to shoot the three better. I feel like I see a lot of guys, Sabonis on Oladipo this year in particular, mm-hmm. who steps forward. Joe Young finally took a step forward this year. I mean, I don't want him to be the reason you keep a coach, obviously, but you know, he did finally take a step forward. Bojan, it was only his fourth season. He looks a lot better this year. CJ Miles last year, GR3. Like, there are a lot of guys who I feel like merit something in the coaching staff being good.
Yeah, Collison and Bogdanović both had their best years of their career last year. And like, Bojan's not been in the NBA for a while, but he's been a pro for what seems like a long time.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, their biggest project, they have what we would say failed at, but you know, we'll find out as time goes on. And Turner is a good transition to another thing Nate talked about, which this was actually during the Saturday game against the Spurs. I had him on for an interview, but me and Adam just glossed over this. But they were asking Nate about the landscape of the Eastern Conference with LeBron going to the Lakers. And he was talking about all, you know, the summer signings and all these things. And they brought Kylo Quinn. And he said, you know, with LeBron gone, I think you won't need as much pace and space to win because LeBron's gone. So you might see more traditional stuff with two bigs or two power forwards or something like that. And I immediately sounded the alarms of, oh, shit, because that sounds terrible, like a terrible idea to me. You know, just because the Cavs don't have LeBron anymore doesn't mean the Celtics aren't going to be running out three wings, or the Raptors aren't going to be running out three wings, or the Sixers aren't going to be running out three wings. So it just seems like they're going backwards if that is a strategy they're actually trying to implore. And I'm fearful for that being a thing.
Yeah, I agree completely. It just, like, that only changes until the playoffs. It only changes three or four games a year for each team. LeBron being gone, really only two, because they still have to play him a couple times. But yeah, that doesn't make sense why everybody in the East is just like, okay, now we're going to go back to what it was before, pace and space. Yeah, that doesn't register to me either.
And he kind of said that, like, all the East is just suddenly on the same page. Like, no way that the Celtics are going to be like, oh yeah, we're going to start Al Horford at the four now. Like, that's just not going to happen. No way that's a thing. And I think it's kind of, I feel like they're kind of already defending themselves for the Sabonis-Turner experiment, and that it seems like a risky move.
Yeah, it feels like they have to at least try it, especially with Turner's extension pending this next summer. They got to know if these guys can play together. But yeah, that there's no way the whole East is going to be doing that.
Well, the bright side is maybe Sabonis and Turner suck together and drive down Turner's price.
Maybe. I think so. With all the money that's going to be out there next year, I think that's going to be a moot point. I think somebody's going to take a chance.
Yeah. Well, it'll be Dallas, his hometown area, having space, plus the Knicks. I mean, I feel like somebody will throw them both down. I'm with you there.
There was an interview that Miles did one with, like, a Dallas radio station. They're already asking him.
Like, oh, really?
Going to the Mavs. Yeah, it was just like a radio thing. I saw it this morning. He was just like, yeah, this is the typical answer. Like, yeah, Dallas is always going to be home to me, but I'm really looking forward to I really love the organization I'm in, looking forward to building a future there.
His PR guy did a fist pump during the answer.
Right.
I didn't hear that. I'll have to look into that. That's interesting. Yeah, I felt like that was his post-Pacers move would be back to Dallas. He won't leave, though, next summer. There's no way. That's interesting. I didn't know that. But, yeah, the two big things scares me, and you actually turned me on to this. I had to look it up. But it turns out that, you know, they have Kylo Quinn registered as the fifth big. So maybe what they mean by that is just, like, they'll always have one of that or leaf. They'll never really go small ball or anything like that. But if they're really thinking about, you know, O'Quinn Turner or O'Quinn Sabonis or Sabonis Turner for multiple minutes a game out, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't like the idea.
Yeah, like, Thad and O'Quinn would be fine, but – then why are Turner and Sabonis not playing that night, you know? So, yeah, he's the perfect third center. Like, I think he's ideal for what Nate wants to use a center for, too. Like, he plays very similar. He can do a lot of the things that Sabonis can. Like, I think it's a perfect fit.
And I think Turner works playing with both the other guys to at least some small extent because he spaces the floor.
Yeah,
but O'Quinn and Sabonis would just not work at all. They're just so plottery and inside-y, and, you know, they would limit each other's screening and passing ability just because they'd clog everything up. So I really hope that that's not something they're going to pursue.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be shades of LaVoy Allen and Kevin Serafin and Al Jefferson.
Hey, Kevin Serafin, Lance, and LaVoy Allen worked in the playoffs.
That's true. Kevin Serafin.
That was Was that his peak Pacers moment? Was that series?
Serafin? All the Lance games, that was peak. All free throws in those games, and he had the entire season.
Gosh, that was such a random run of good play from him. What a guy, man. What a guy.
I was honestly a little surprised that he didn't get a shot anywhere else after that.
That was three games. He wasn't, like, terrible.
Yeah, it was a good chunk of the end of the season. He wasn't bad.
No, it was interesting. I mean, it's cool he's in France where he's from. That's fun.
Yeah.
Should we do the other front office-y stuff, or should we do Summer League now?
I'm up for whatever.
You're the guest. The guest gets to pick what to do. My mom always said that when I was a kid.
I mean, I always take Summer League way too seriously. So let's just...
You're the only person I can talk to about it. I've been DMing you, like, way too much the last week. we had Sexton versus Holiday the other night, and it was very exciting. We saw some fun defensive plays from Holiday and one fun back and forth 3-point sequence from them. What was your favorite moment of the game?
Probably the back and forth.
Yeah.
When Sexton hit that end of the shot clock three, and then Holiday came back and crossed him up and hit that three again. And then he brought it down the very next possession and hit the pull up, but his foot was on the line. That was the best part of the game.
That crossover was filthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did the same thing in the first game, but that was just big. So like that's what you're expecting to do that to him, but to do it to Sexton, that was awesome.
My favorite moment was Henry Sims taking someone off the dribble and then dunking all over them.
Vicious block in that game too.
Yeah, Henry Sims is fun, man. He's actually like an NBA player. He should not be in summer league.
Yeah, it's weird these random veterans that show up.
2,500 NBA minutes, and they're like, yeah, I'll play summer league, whatever.
Yeah.
But the guys to talk about are the NBA dudes, and I guess CJ Wilcox, but our always starting point is TJ Leaf. It has to be. And after a terrible first game and a great second game, I would say this was a mixed bag. And I kind of feel like I figured out what it is, but I don't know. It seems like they're trying to have him create almost. Like they throw it to him at the elbow and they make him turn and face and dribble or pass sometimes. And that's not his thing. Like he can kind of do DHOs, but he's definitely a play finisher. Like I feel like he does so much better in the pick and pop when he can shot fake to get his guy off balance or he could just take the shot. His three wasn't falling in this game, but like overall, he was okay as the play finisher. But when he creates the play, it's a disaster.
Yeah, he was just really inefficient with his shot. But yeah, I think Cooper from Indy Cornrows noticed he was getting the ball a lot more at the elbows than he ever had in the regular season when he actually got minutes. So I think you're dead on about that. Maybe they're trying to see if he can be more of a passer and a creator. But yeah, that's not working.
Well, if you have, in theory, if he's going to play in the NBA this coming season, he would be for sure just a play finisher because it'd be Tyreek and Corey and McDermott doing all the, and even Sabonis. Like, he'd be the fifth in line creator with that second unit. Like, I feel like they should be just having him not plant in the corner necessarily because that's a waste of his summer league talents, but like cutting and screening and, you know, play finishing and play developing things instead of creating.
Yeah, I think that's one of Leaf's biggest problems is that, like, when he's in the game, he's such an afterthought on offense that he can't do enough to make up for his defense. Like, if he's in there, he needs to be, like, a part of the action so he can get the points back that he's going to give up on the other end.
Well, and that kind of helped GR3 because before he got his three-point shot, he was just a good defender. Like, he was so bad on offense, he still couldn't play. And when he figured out how to cut, he really opened up a lot of the game. And I feel like that could help TJ a lot.
True.
Yep. Getting a step on his defender before he even gets the ball would be nice.
Yeah, I love his dribble moves off closeouts, but yeah, you don't see him move off the ball a whole lot.
I think he's taking lessons from the Thaddeus Young book of shot fake the three and then drive.
Yeah.
Which Thad does it too often, but anyway. Aaron Holiday, second NBA guy. We talked about his back and forth with Sexton. You and I had differing opinions about his defense in this game, which was interesting. But again, I feel like his height is just his obvious limitation because he's really good at a lot of stuff on the perimeter, passing. His shot wasn't falling in this game, but it has been in the summer league and, you know, putting the ball on the floor. He's quick. Like he's good at a lot of stuff, but around the basket, he can't really finish. And on defense, you know, he can get cooked because he's short and his low center of gravity doesn't help him when he's not, you know, he's not keeping up with the game yet, but I think he'll get there. It's just, you can tell he's short right now.
Yeah. I think the defense, the lateral quickness is a concern. Like you pointed out that Sexton was like, he was blowing by him a lot. And that was definitely an issue. And maybe that was my just summer league zoning out for a while.
Well, he had three steals. His length is huge. He's good at that.
Yeah, that helps the lack of a height too.
Well, yes,
got that block on Sexton, which was an impressive play early on.
He had only three fouls in this game, which for him is massive compared to the rest of summer.
Yeah. Well, I think didn't he get like seven in the first game or something?
Yeah, seven in the first game, five in the second. Hey, yeah. By this rate, he'll have one in the next one. And then negative one in the last game.
Wow, that'll be impressive.
That'll be something.
Turnovers. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, good.
Starting to concern me. Like there's like multiple times where he just fell to the ground and then instead of calling timeout, just threw a horrible pass.
Two or three of them are him trying to force passes that he will learn not to force.
Yeah, like he overthrew that one to Leaf that was like a full court pass, and he's tried to throw like oops to Leaf a couple times, which you would think he would know what he can do and or not since they were teammates, but apparently not.
Yeah, the turnovers have been a thing for him, and he's good at passing out of pick and roll. Like I feel like his passing is fine. It's just he's sloppy. He's a rookie point guard. He will not be impactful in the NBA this year. He might be someday.
Yeah,
show me skills that I feel like. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Pritchard pointed out in the press conference, I thought it was interesting that he like pointed out something so specific that he's not that good at making the pocket pass off the pick and roll. And I haven't really noticed him like try many, but I don't know. That was interesting. Yeah.
Good point. Well, I feel like when I see it, it's like the pick and roll happens and then some action happens on the backside and he hits the right guy right there for a real quick play and stuff like that is what I'm talking about. But you're right. I have not seen a pocket pass once from him.
Yep.
Next thing, Edmund Sumner, the two-way guy, didn't do a ton that I was like, yeah, Sumner, but he did make the sweetest arching three of all time, and I tweeted the video of it because I was so happy.
No, yeah, he had a couple pull-ups, that one three at the end of the quarter, and he hit another one in the fourth, too. His jump shot's just so – it's a weird form.
That Joey Burton training, man, he's got it.
Just hitting him. That's good. Yeah, that was definitely a better sign than the first game. The first game, he was getting into the lane all the time, but it was never ending well.
He's still shown me nothing that makes me think he'll ever be a stud in the NBA or even a rotation player, for being honest.
Yeah, same. It'll be interesting to see what if they – like it seems like a foregone conclusion that they'll keep him around this year, but it'll be interesting
to see
this one.
His best chance at the league is someone gets hurt this year.
Which is so many of these guys.
Yes, and it really is. Same with Poitras and Benmore, honestly. Yeah. Who I feel like will probably both be mad ants. Poitras is the best defender. Well, actually, those two guys are probably the best two defenders on the Summer League team. Yep. I think they were the only pluses and plus minus this whole game. Oh, and Levi Randolph in his 3 minutes, whatever. Who cares? They were the only pluses on the whole team. They look like the best two players, honestly. Benmore just hustles. He didn't miss a shot. And Poitras is just probably too good for Summer League, honestly, at this point. 4 years at Kentucky and 2 years in the NBA. But I don't know if either of them will make the team. I don't think there's a spot for them. So we're just looking at two stud G Leaguers doing their thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like Pritchard will probably just want to keep that 15th spot open like he did last year when it seemed like it was coming down to, what was it, Poitras and Utah last year?
Oh, yeah.
But the last cutting them both.
I could see Benmore getting a two-way.
Yeah, I can see Moore getting in the two-way again. Is Poitras still eligible for another one?
Yes, it is under 3 years or 3 or less years of NBA service, so he is eligible.
So I could see either one of those guys getting it again, and then maybe adding one of them down the line, just like they did with Poitras. Poitras once the days ran out. I don't know. It seems like they'll probably both end up with the Mad Ants. Maybe Poitras gets a shot somewhere else.
Well, hey, you know how we know they're not going to be on the NBA team? Because our boy, Alize Johnson, is for sure going to be on the Pacers when this freaking formality happens.
Right, yeah, they're selling his jersey, so there's no point in selling the guy's jersey if he's not going to be on the team.
There have been too many hints for it not to happen. I'm almost frustrated it hasn't happened yet.
I'm real confused. So, like, what we were talking about with the salary cap situation, like, what was the point in waiving Poitras so early?
Yeah.
They weren't going to sign Alize first.
Yeah, no. So for those of you that don't know or don't follow either of us on Twitter for some reason, we'll get to that at the end. What they could have done after they waived Poitras is first sign Alize using cap space, and then they could have given him a 3-year deal with options and just cut him if he stunk. But that would allow him to have full bird rights and have him be a restricted free agent after 3 years. But they signed Kylo Quinn to the room exception, and that's official now because, you know, they had the presser, it was tweeted, like all that stuff, I mean, presumably can't happen unless it's really official, like they submitted the paperwork to the league. So now they're over the cap, and they can only give him a 2-year deal, which would limit, you know, how long they can have him on the team and make his price restricted and restricted free agency, like stuff that agents don't like too. So it is an interesting maneuver. So that could lend to him getting a two-way, but I feel like, you know, given what Agnes reported and given that his jersey is selling, he's going to be on the NBA team. So a very peculiar set of moves in a row.
Yep.
That's it. No one cares but me. But
yeah, that's another thing where we can talk about that together, and no one else seems to care at all.
Oh, but they do care that he is playing very well in these games.
Yeah, he's my annual summer league obsession, it seems like. I always get into one of these guys every year, and then they never turn into anything, or they never get that opportunity like you're talking about. Usually a lot of these guys, it takes an injury for them to ever get the shot. But yeah, Alize, his motor, everybody talked about it after the draft, and it's just amazing how well he gets to rebounds and how quick he seems to get to everyone. He's just always fighting for him.
All the time I'm like, oh, he's got no chance, and then he gets it, and then he gets another one, and then he pushes in transition so he can dribble, and he hit his three in this game, like all this stuff. I was like, man, like if he polishes these skills, he's gonna be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like his motor gives him a chance right away.
Yeah. That's what gave Ben Moore a chance last year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you don't see this kind of motor from Moore. Like Moore's good at a lot of stuff, but like I don't know what it is. Like he can't match that rebounding skill or anything.
He's such a quick jumper. Like not Moses Malone level, obviously, because it's Moses Malone, but very quick jumper.
Alize Johnson is Moses Malone.
There's a comp. I can't believe I just said that out loud.
Yeah, was that somebody on Twitter compared him to young Gerald Wallace?
Oh, yes, that was a very good – I got to figure out who that was. That was a very good comp, actually.
Yeah, I'm excited about him, see what happens with him. It was good to see him hit that jump shot. But, yeah, the energy, the grab-and-go rebounds are great. This last game he kind of ran into, oh, I need to use my left hand to dribble occasionally. But he tried to do one of those grab-and-goes, and somebody just sat on his right hand, and he turned the ball over.
Hey, we learned from Sabonis. You only need one hand to be in the NBA.
True.
All right, last thing about this game that I think you know, but when you hear it, you'll be like, what? Like, but anyway, TJ Leaf had 7 offensive rebounds in this game.
Wow. Was it 9 total?
Yeah.
That's one thing I noticed about him last year. Like, he has a natural knack for just knowing where that offensive rebound's going to go. But 7, that's impressive.
A lot. I didn't even know that, and I watched the whole game. I just saw it, and I was like, wow. Yeah. But we'll do a brief short, I guess, 2 minutes on Kevin Pritchard here. He did an interview during this game we just talked about. Didn't reveal really anything that anyone was like, oh, wow. He just said the team last year was a lot of fun, and they were looking for 3-point shooting, and they got McDermott, and they wanted someone who can create a shot off the dribble and get to the lane. They got Tyreek. They wanted to replace Al with another locker room guy. They got O'Quinn, like all this stuff we knew, but what I thought was interesting is he said, we had a long-term approach going into the summer, but then we quickly pivoted to a short-term approach. I don't know what that means, and I'm curious to see what you think.
Well, that's interesting. I missed the we had a long-term approach at first. I didn't see that. That is interesting. Maybe that's if Thad declined.
Yeah. Well, it could be like the
Aaron Gordon and those restricted free agents, maybe.
And it could be like the Celtics, where they always had the quote 2 timelines or whatever when they had the young guys and old guys, and maybe they were looking to do 2 things. But I thought it was interesting that he said it like that, like they went with the short term approach. I don't know what that means or why they're doing it that way. Maybe I guess they think the East is wide open, and I think it could be, but that's certainly interesting given where they are. I think one more year would have been the move, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, I think he's been hesitant to, really embrace like a long-term approach with the current core that they have, other than the 3 obvious ones. But I think he wants to make sure that this wasn't a fluke.
Yeah,
why they're going the short-term route. Like, let's see if they can do this again. If they do, then we'll keep everybody around, or most of everybody. It'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting to see what happens next year.
Yeah, 6 free agents at a top 8 guys will be interesting. That's all I got. So I'm going to let you promote you and your stuff.
If you want to follow me, it's at iPacers blog. You know my name now. So I sell t-shirts too. You can check those out. You can
see them. Yes, they're really cool. We plugged them on here a few times. I don't know if anyone's ever bought them. Adam has one.
Oh, sweet. Which one did he get?
I think he got the This Is My City one for Christmas from Marina.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, that's one of my favorites for sure.
Cool. Oh, my favorite was the Miles Turner one after the playoff block.
Oh, yeah. What was the – is that just the
– Oh, the him shushing the crowd after the Celtics game. Not the playoff block. I'm sorry. The Celtics game block, yeah.
Silence the critics, silence the doubters, all those. Let them sleep.
Yes, that one was amazing. They're incredible. You know where to follow me, everybody. You've been listening a bunch. But thanks for tuning in. Friday, I think we'll have two games to talk about, but I don't know because they don't release the stupid tournament schedule until Wednesday. But Adam will be back for that one. He's busy doing Naples reporting today. Gosh, stupid rail jobs. Yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your day and your Thursday.